Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is my garden, and this is a wildlife garden specifically built for amphibians. It's because there's not much space for them in Dublin at the moment, so I kind of encourage frogs and newts in here. But at the end of the garden, beside the pond, is it looks like kind of a regular shed, but it's insulated, heated, and it has several several dozen containers with snakes, scorpions, spiders, the good stuff that has to be protected from our cold climate. The vast majority of the animals in here are arachnids, so they're scorpions and spiders, which are my big passion. After that, then frogs. I love my amphibians, and then the rest are rescued snakes. So yeah, it's a pretty cool little setup on my little space to do my thing.
So it's very narrow in here. It's quite a snug little space, isn't it?
It's built for one or two at most. So yeah, or a hobbit, a gang of hobbits you could get in here. It's quite snug. Still, it does exactly what it says on the tin.
And what does it say on the tin?
Well, it's the critter shed. It's the animal shed. So. My name is Colly Ennis, and we are here in my shed where I keep all my animals and bits and pieces and do my little projects. And yeah, what are you doing here?
That's a very good question. Well, I'm Colette, and I don't work with animals, but I absolutely love animals and I love learning about animals. So I know that you know an awful lot about animals that aren't mammals in particular, like snakes and...
Yeah, the creepy crawlies.
Mm-hmm. And I actually want to learn about stuff, so I'm here to learn.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, welcome. You're very welcome. It's nice to talk to a fellow animal enthusiast. So, yeah, it's always good.
So it's a really snug little space. So we're actually surrounded left and right with all these stacked up vivariums. And just give me a rundown on what you have here. Like, it's really gorgeous.
I have the big cages will have snakes. Like, I didn't keep snakes until the recession hit. I specialised in, like, amphibians and spiders. That was my big thing. But then the recession hit and everybody started dumping their snakes or emigrating and just asked me to take them. So I ended up with, like, 25 snakes.
Wow. So I'm seeing snakes. I know you have frogs around here somewhere. Frogs, I'm seeing a tarantula somewhere as well.
Scorpions. Lots of cockroaches. I'm obsessed with cockroaches. I have a Scolopendra here, which is a giant centipede, which is pretty nasty.
Wow.
Yeah, they can actually even eat bats,
believe it or not.
Yeah, they're kind of an invertebrate with the muscular strength of a small snake, which is pretty nasty venom to match. So, yeah. And then I have my smaller stuff like the Steatoda. The famous false widow spider that's going to eat us all and our kids, according to the press, which is a lot of bollocks. But there you go.
We're actually here to talk about something specific, aren't we?
We're here to talk about spiders in general, yeah. So
something specific about spiders.
Oh, yeah, something specific. Yeah, we were talking about spider riding. Spider mating, for people who are very posh. But yeah, it's spider riding. It's that time of year again where you're going to see them coming into your house, and a lot of people freak out because... For the vast majority of the year, spiders are in your house. They're always there, but you just don't see them because they're just minding their own business. Most of them are behind your cooker or your fridge, in the attic, just catching bugs, keeping your place pest free, for free, which is brilliant. This time of year then, the old instincts kick in with the males and they go off on the sniff for a beautiful female. And that's when you see them running across your floor and crawling down walls, crawling across people's beds. Everybody freaks out.
But why do they come inside to mate?
Most of them are inside anyway, behind furniture, hidden away in little nooks and crannies or in a cobweb somewhere you wouldn't even notice them. But when they become sexually mature as males, they will go wandering. The females don't wander. They stay in the web. In fact, male spiders, male arachnids have a pretty tough life. The males have to do that, take the risk of going wandering to get a mate, because it makes more sense. If a male gets eaten, there'll be another male to replace him and mate with a female. If a female gets eaten, on an evolutionary term, she's carrying those precious eggs inside her. So it doesn't make sense as a species to send out the girls looking for the males. So yeah,
spiders are sound good to me all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, as a woman you should appreciate spider society. Male spiders will generally, in most species, end up as a snack for the female after the deed is done. The males, actually, what they do is they'll go into their last molt around this time of year, and then they become sexually mature. What they do then is they deposit sperm on a web, which is called a sperm web. So they basically jizz on a web, and then they have these things on the front of their head called palps, which are like little boxing gloves. And that's how you can always tell it's a male spider, because just at the front of its head, they have these little lumps that are like boxing gloves. And they're basically like syringes. So they hoover up the sperm that they put on the web into the syringes, and they go off looking for that female spider. And they go up to the side of the web. A lot of them have little intricate kind of dances or signals, depending on which species of spider it is. With our own, what it tends to be is a little drum, little dance at the side of the web, and then she'll accept him or she won't. She'll mate with him or she'll kill him, or do both.
So do I understand that correctly? So the male prepares the sperm before he goes looking for the female.
Yes.
So he ejaculates it outside the web, outside his body, onto
a
web.
Onto a web.
Hoovers it up.
Designed. Yeah.
Hoovers it up into a syringe like
palps. Yeah. At the front of his head.
Gets ready, goes looking for a female, and he's ready for action.
He's ready for action. And the weird thing about male spiders' palps are, there's some species of spider, like there's a garden cross spider in or an orb weaver spider in the States, where the male's palps are specifically designed when he's mated with the female to snap off and stay inside her. And it's a form of ensuring that only his sperm will fertilize her. So, yeah, it's like snapping your lad off just to make sure no one else steals your board at the end of the night. But like, it there's all these crazy things. Widow spiders, the male will actually present his posterior to the female, and she will have a munch on him. He has a sphincter in the top half of his body that will keep the spider blood inside him from draining completely out, but he'll let her eat his abdomen as he's alive having sex with her, because it will keep her occupied and he'll be ensuring that he can mate. And they mate with the two palps. They'll do one and they'll do it with the other to make sure.
So having had his abdomen munched on,
yeah,
surely he can't survive after
no,
that.
No, he can't. 100% not. No, it's a one-way ticket for them.
And for
any adult male spider, once they've done the deed, they're done anyway. Mm. They're spent. You'll see if you're out in the doing field work, and you will see at night loads of male, especially tarantulas. You'll see them wandering around, and some of them are missing arms and legs, and you know what I mean, not arms but palps, you know what I mean, but they're in bits, look like they've been through the wars, but they're still kind of going around because they might have a little bit of sperm left in the palp, or they might be just on instinct looking for a female, and they'll just keep going until the bitter end.
Is that true for every spider species, do you think?
For the vast majority of them, yeah. Oh yeah, when the males become mature, that's it, that's game over. The females have it, you know what I mean, that's it.
I'm interested now in learning more about your wolf spider here.
Yes.
Can we have a look at her?
Yeah. Yeah, wolf spiders are really a fairly worldwide species of spider. So they're a terrestrial spider. They don't spin webs. Mm. They'll do a small web, obviously, for their egg sac, just to keep it nice and moist.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at here now, you have a glass box, just bigger than your hand and very tall. And I'm seeing it white. It looks like a ball of cotton wool. Is that the egg sac?
That's the egg sac down the bottom. Mm. And then around it, you can see then there's a kind of a smaller, finer web, almost grey. Mm. And that's specifically there to retain moisture. Mm. So the biggest threat to spiders' eggs is predator or drying out. Most, if you look here, you see there's a load of egg sacs.
Oh,
and these are from the famous false widow spiders. Everybody thinks it's going to eat their cat.
Oh, these are the ones that are in the news now.
In the news, yeah, because they sell papers. And like, I've been involved now with the lads up in the venom lab in Galway, who are doing stunning work on their venom to find all sorts of weird properties with their venom. There's a female there, and as you can see, she's got 3 or 4 egg sacs there that she's laid, and she could have mated once with a male and retained sperm that will service her for the rest of her days, you know.
How big is she now?
She's about the size of my thumbnail. Mm-hmm. Her abdomen's quite empty now. If I was to give her a nice cricket, she'll swell up again. Mm. Maybe get another egg. You can see the female sometimes as well. If I raise the temperature here, if I put them to a different heat source, you can see females moving eggs around, moving egg cases down, or if I pop some water in, they might go down and have a drink and then come up and fiddle around with this. So they really are quite attentive mothers to a degree. And then like when the babies hatch out, they kind of tend to hang around a web for a little bit and then they disperse.
Each of those false widow egg sacs, mm-hmm, looks like a tiny little ball of
pea size, white cotton looking ball.
How many spiderlings do you think each might have, or eggs?
It depends on the size of the mother and you know, the quality of food she's getting and all. But I've had, you know, some of them have hatched out and there'd be hundreds of them, but they're quite cannibalistic at the start of their life, so they'll really mill into each other, and you kind of get the strongest and healthiest ones that survive and go off and disperse themselves, you know. If you were out in a field in Ireland, you'll see our own little native wool spider species. They're not as big as this one, obviously, but instead of doing what a lot of spiders do when they set up a web and place the egg sac in it and just kind of protect it and do their own thing, they'll actually carry it and forage and go and do their hunting, but they still have that egg sac with them until they're ready to settle down or they know it's going to hatch out. Then they'll put it in an area, web it up and protect it for a bit, and then the babies will disperse.
When the babies hatch, do they disperse immediately or do they hang around the mother?
They hang around and they tend to pick on their weaker siblings and just start to have a bit of a snack with them. So yeah, it's a tough life. But
and there might be hundreds?
Yes. The vast majority of spiders, when they hatch out, have massive amounts of young. A couple of reasons for that. Massively high mortality rate within the nest, shall we say, because they'll eat each other. Then after that, you have a massive amounts of predation. Everything eats spiders. If we're talking about wolf spiders, our own native lizards love them. Blue tits love them and all that. And there's actually a correlation between eating spiders and being very smart. There's a chemical that's in spider exoskeleton. They've done studies on birds that have eaten, and it makes them that little bit more kind of savvy. And I know ourselves, our own native lizards are quite clever. And that's probably from eating wolf spiders. So anyway, going back to the spiders, once they've dispersed and gotten away from the nest and the killings that goes on in there, then they have to face up to all these predators that are attacking them.
So the more young are produced, the higher the likelihood that some will survive and go on to reproduce.
100%. There's no investment in them. Mm. As mammals ourselves, we kind of anthropomorphize other animals.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Thinking that, oh, they all care about their babies, and look at her there with her nest. She can give a shit about them after a while, you know what I mean? Like, all she is there, the instinct is to protect them while they're in the egg sac, and then after that, it's like, good luck, you know? If they disperse overnight and you're not there to help them get away from her, she can just switch from, I love you kids, to, oh, you look very tasty, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, from your pride and joy to a happy meal in about 2 seconds, you know? So have you any favourite spider stories or facts or anything?
Well, I have to say, I don't know anything about spiders, or I don't know that much about spiders. And I was always a bit nervous of them, because not knowing about something, I think, makes you a bit nervous of them. My partner is mad at animals, and he had a wolf spider at home that somebody gave him. It came in a bunch of bananas or a crate of bananas or something, and it needed a home.
So
it came
up to us.
Yeah, exactly. So we had this spider in one of these boxes that you have, a vivarium. But the fascinating thing was, because she was getting a nice amount of food and she had a really good environment, she was taking all those opportunities just to pump out those little egg sacs that we talked about. And she carried the egg around for a few weeks, I think. And then inside this tiny little pea-shaped egg, we saw little black spots appearing, and they were the spiderlings developing. But then when they hatched, they all climbed up onto her back. So I came in one morning, they'd all hatched, and she was there covered in these spiderlings.
Very cool behaviour.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And they were just, you could see them actually moving. It was like this mass of tiny little things moving. So she carried them around for about 10 days and then they all dispersed.
Yeah.
And then we had to, unfortunately, spray them to kill them because they're not native. We didn't want them to get outside.
Yeah. Pete, I didn't know you then. Yeah. I would have loved them if you had helped.
There were hundreds. We did a count. We did a rough count. And there was between about 300 and 500 on her back.
Yeah, that's mad. And was she a big wolf spider? Was she big enough, like 20 cents coin or 50 cents?
She was big.
Big, yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome looking creatures there.
What am I hearing?
That's all crickets. There's always crickets chirping in here. So, yeah, it's nice. Make you think you're on your holidays with the heat and the crickets going. But yeah, that's very cool. That behaviour though as well, protecting the young, it's also used in scorpions. The scorpions will carry the young on their back, which is pretty cool. Yeah, people tend to think that arachnids are kind of like
soulless.
Yeah, but they can make good mothers to a certain degree, you know.
To the third evening,
do they? Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Tell me about your worst spider story or your best spider story.
Oh, my worst one. Oh, Jesus. I was minding my pal's Goliath Bordier, which is the largest spider species on the planet. They're very heavy. They're like dinner plate size. And they have a nasty bite, but they very rarely use it because they have even nastier hairs that they can flick from the back of their abdomen. Now, all tarantulas can do that. And generally what happens is you get a bit of an itch and you go, oh my God, that feels awful. I've got an itch. These things, if they get on your skin or something, it's like the end of the world. It's awful, it is. It really drives me mad. But anyway, me being cocky tarantula owner number one, I was like feeding her and I opened up the enclosure, which is like an ExoTerra enclosure. So it's front opening. It's kind of like if you're opening a cupboard with cups in it, except it's a tarantula in there and it's head high. So I'm throwing in some crickets beside her. She eats one and I'm just having a look and chatting away. How are you today? Like a dope. But she turned around and blasted me full on the face with the hairs. And I was just like, shit. So, a long story short, I end up in the eye and ear hospital getting sick, violently sick, because when you get them in your eye, they travel back in because they're barbed. So it's like getting fish hooks in your eye, but microscopic ones. And every time you blink, then you feel like someone's poking you or jabbing you in the eye with a hot... I was in a heap. And I was outside the eye and ear waiting for it to get seen, and had to keep running out and getting sick, dry retching. And there was a queue about 20 people in front of me, and I was like, I'm going to be here for feckin' years, you know, this is a nightmare. You have to fill out a form, what happened to you? Obviously, I said I got a tarantula. And about 5 minutes, the doctor comes running out and he's like, Mr. Ennis, and they wheel me in, and I got put in the chair, like, you know, Clockwork Orange, where they'd strap your eyes open. I was sitting in there going, oh my God. And they gave me these drops for my eye that killed the pain, and it was orgasmic. It was just the best. It was just, oh my God, thank you for that. But then, after that, they proceeded to put the equipment on my eye, where it's like a microscope they put over your eye, where they look in and they see what's there. And they said, yes, you have 5 hairs sticking out your eyeball. I was like, brilliant. But before they took them out, they insisted on bringing every medical student. They were ringing their mates up on their mobile. They were putting their mobiles onto the eyepiece to record this shit. And I'm like, will you please just get them out of my eye? Because I felt like shit, like, you know. So anyway, yeah, I was in there for a good 45 minutes waiting for people to arrive from different things. Then they wrote a paper on it. So it was, yeah, it was a mad, mad experience. And it taught me a valuable lesson to wear goggles around tranches when I'm cleaning them from now on. Like, it really was. I actually put it up on a few websites and my own Twitter feed and all. I did. I put my hands up and I said, look, I was very lucky that I didn't get any permanent damage from this. It was just pure cockiness. And just to be aware, because I know there's a couple of people that look at me and call me a spider expert or something like that, which I'm not very comfortable with, because I don't think you're ever an expert in that, and you're always learning, especially with something like this. I'm always picking up new stuff, and that was definitely a moment where I wasn't an expert. But yeah, that was possibly the worst experience I've ever had with tarantulas. And then every time they were pulling them out of my eye, I didn't feel anything, but as they were pulling out, it was like in a movie where you see something like getting distorted or people's faces stretching. It was like, and I could feel it. It was so weird. It was just the weirdest, horriblest day ever.
And yet we still have tarantulas here surrounding us.
Yeah. I've actually got two of those little, the ones, that species I'm talking about. I'll show you here. So this species of...
Bear in mind we're not wearing goggles.
Oh no, well this is okay, because these are very young. So it's hard to believe that this species grows to be like biggest.
So this is like a, oh my God, so you've just opened a plastic
Tupperware
tub, and this is about 2 inches.
Yeah, it should be about the same size as a house spider, really. Bit fatter around the body.
Very hairy.
Very hairy now, and you see the cute pink toes. they disappear after it becomes mature. I'm just going to cover up because...
What's her species again?
So that's called a T. sturmi, a Goliath board ear. A Goliath Burgundy board eater.
So she's around 3 centimetres now. How big will she be?
So the leg span can be up to 10 inches across, which is like massive. So yeah, they get really, really big, really heavy bodied. The board eating thing isn't a fact. It came from Victorian times where they, you know, the man-faced dog. I was over there and I wanted to catch this thing. You know, they're calling all these weird animals. But I do wanted to. And also, they were all going over on these adventures and getting funded. So if you called a board-eating spider or a tarantula a board-eating spider, it sounded so much more glamorous and, you know what I mean, all that kind of stuff.
You know what the German is for tarantula?
No.
Vogelspinne, which means bird spider.
Oh, that's very cool. I never knew that. Do you know where a tarantula got its name from? A little town in Italy. Because the Italians were one of the first to go over there and see like the New World's big spiders. And they had a big spider, which is actually a wolf spider from their area. And they were called tarantula spiders or something like that. And that's where they got the name. So yeah, it's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's mad. So yeah, all tarantulas are named after an Italian village. It's cool.
Do you have a favourite spider fact?
I like the way they bang. I do. I think it's fascinating. But
jizzing over a web.
Jizzing over a web. I often think of how hilarious it would be if we were like, if humans were going out and doing that stuff. You were preloaded going into the nightclub with your little packs. How's it going? Seeing if somebody doesn't want to bite your face off worse. But I think the length of time they've been on the planet, over 300 million years, the success of them, it just blows me away. And the way they are so different than us. We always talk about aliens and what it'd be like to have strange creatures from another planet. I can't think of a more different creature than spiders are from us. Like, they're so alien and so completely, you know, they don't see the world the way we do at all. And I find that fascinating. I really do.
You get such a bad press. They probably need a new PR campaign.
Yeah, I've been doing my best, but failing miserably. But no, I mean, like, I think if you if you try and get out there and get onto like civilian TV and civilian TV, but you know what I mean, non-scientific TV and, you know, talk shows and stuff, that's the way to do it. And just to talk and show them that these are interesting animals, especially when you go from the angle of hygiene, how they're going to keep your house clean, like, you know what I mean, how you're not going to have bugs in your floorboards and stuff like that. You'll have spiders, but I'd rather have spiders than, you know, cockroaches, wood lice, all the above. They're a lot nastier to have around your place than a spider who sits in the web most of the year, you know what I mean? Mm. Granted, once a year you'll get them, the males running across your floor or your newspaper giving you a bit of a fright, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're not going to kill you. We're very fortunate in Ireland that we have no significant venom packing spiders. We are living it. And yet we have the most sensational press about it, the most fear. And the worst thing about that is it's irresponsible as well, because people have hurt themselves, fallen out of attics and ladders and all because they saw a cobweb, broken legs, falling down staircases because they saw a spider running across top of it. That's more dangerous than the spider itself. The fear instilled by people just wanting to sell papers, you know? We should probably treat them the exact same, with the exact same amount of, like, you know, just ignore them and let them do their thing, and they'll ignore us to the best of their ability, as they always have.
I do feel guilty these days because we have so many spiders in our house now. My cats tend to hunt them and eat them, and I feel bad about that.
Well, cats just go for anything that moves, I suppose, you know. But that, again, I wouldn't feel too bad because it's only the males going out looking for a bit of action, and then they would have been dead anyway, so there's always going to be more male spiders to make more babies, so yeah.
That makes me feel much better. So, are we done with the spider ride? I think we are.
We are, yeah. I think we're done. Yeah. We're all rolled out. I actually had some spider riding going on here the other night.
Did you?
I was mating some of them. So, I had the Barry White turned up to 11 and candlelight on and everything. And, like, I actually had a male now who mated successfully and survived. So, that's a real bonus, you know. Wow. Because usually they don't make it. But, yeah, happy enough I was, you know.
Great. Well, I have to say I enjoyed that, so we should do this in a couple of weeks again.
Definitely. We make it a regular thing and have some more bants about animals.
And who knows where it could go.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Brilliant. Could go anywhere.
God, I can't believe it's dark. Seems like winter just came out of nowhere.
Oh, it just came overnight.
Yeah. Really? I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.